This is Colleen Bradford Krantz, one of the producers for Market to Market. The following is our Market Plus podcast. This is the audio of a discussion we held in our studio. There's video of this as well that you can find on your YouTube page of Market to Market. Also, we think you may enjoy the M2M podcast, which publishes on Tuesdays. This one is a look at the behind-the-scenes work with our stories, as well as conversations with folks involved in agriculture in one of many forms. Now, here is Delaney Howell.
This is the Friday, November 15, 2019 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us once again is Matthew Bennett. Matt, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Matt, I want to ask you a question, and it's not related to the commodity markets, but I think it's a very interesting thing to share with our viewers, because I was also in a similar situation when I stepped into my role as host of Market to Market, and that is what your dad has told you about you getting on the show of Market to Market.
Well, basically, as a kid, I watched Market to Market every Sunday after church, whether I wanted to or not, because we had country cable, you know, so we had four stations, the main three and PBS. And so, you know, my dad has always said, one of these days, if they ask you on Market to Market, then maybe I will consider you a little bit more of an analyst, you know. And so he told me, after I told him I was going to get a chance to come on here, he said, "We'll just wait and see how you do." So
you never can please him, right?
No, he's proud, I'm sure, yeah. But he's not of the generation that maybe is going to let you know that.
He's not going to coddle you by
readily,
any means.
Absolutely, yeah. Not.
Well, you'll have to send him a link to the Market Plus.
Yes, we
edition.
Will send him one.
Matt, we've got some great questions that came in on Facebook and Twitter. At Market to Market, you can always send in your questions. I want to kick it off here with AJ in Iowa. He wants to know, at what price level should we be looking to get some protection on January feeders?
Oh, on January feeders, you know, to me, at this point, I guess I'm wondering if he's wanting to buy them or sell them, though. Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question, but quite frankly, if he was looking to sell them, I would be locking them in right here. If I was on the buy side, you know, in my opinion, I think you could be looking for just a little bit of weakness in here. And so if you were, to me, I would probably be putting in offers $4 to $5 above, under the market. If I'm looking to the buy side, if I'm looking to the sell side, probably going to be looking to sell them right in here anywhere.
Okay. And another quick question here about the cattle markets. This one specifically coming in about the feeders from a folk in Oklahoma area. Has feeders topped out, and will it be trading in a sideways trend now?
You know, I would say path of least resistance right now is probably maybe just a shade lower. Have we topped out? That's a wonderful question, but by all means, it kind of looks like we have for the time being. The entire cattle complex typically sees some demand coming up here before too awful long, and like we talked about on the show, I think you're going to see a little more tightness than what we've had here in the last 12 months, and so you could maybe make a case that the cattle market could maybe scale a little bit higher, but at the same time, if you look at the charts, we've basically gone almost straight up for quite some time in here, and I would have a hard time believing that we're going to continue that trend at the present time.
Yeah, and I think we've gone up really since that Tyson fire has happened.
Right.
Did that change the pattern or the seasonality of where we should be for this time of year for the?
Well, I think that it certainly had a very large influence. I mean, and I think, you know, that's a large discussion that we could spend quite some time on. So I don't know that I'm not going to go too much detail there, but there's no question that the market had a reaction that some people really enjoyed. I'll just leave it at that.
Some people, as in maybe the Packers, enjoyed it?
I'm not going to even
answer
that.
Okay, no conspiracy theory from you.
No.
All right. Well, Matt, I don't know if you are familiar with Tim in Crookston, Minnesota. He's pretty frequent there on Twitter as well. He's got a question for you about the hard red spring wheat. It's got a strong basis right now as well, but futures haven't moved much in this month. Should I sell it all now and re-own some of it with futures or options?
You know, and I kind of liken it to the corn market situation, which is somewhat similar. I mean, actually, we've seen a fair amount of weakness, I guess, with the corn market, especially to close the week here. But yes, whenever the basis is good, what we have to do is we have to ask ourselves, what is the market trying to tell me to do? you know. And when the basis is good, it's saying we want your grain right now, whether we're talking wheat, whether we're talking corn, whatever it is. And so that's the way that I was brought up to analyze the markets, if you will. And the nice thing is, when I went to college, that was reinforced, you know, with my mentor at the University of Illinois, Darryl Good. You know, watch the basis, watch the spreads. And at this stage of the game, I would have to tell him that's exactly what I would do if I was is in his shoes, is I would go ahead and be marketing that wheat, re-own it on the board. And just like with corn, like we talked previously, these options are just dead, and only one or two little things could happen to inflate them back to life again. And probably for no more than what he's going to have in him, he could get a pretty good little return.
Since we're talking about basis here, I want to jump down to another question here from another pretty big Twitter follower of Market to Market, and that's Phil from Dresden, Ontario. Yep. I'm sure you chat with him on Twitter somewhat as well. He wants to know, with corn, December corn futures fluttering near 375 and much of the corn market sitting in the snow and under harvests, do basis levels tell the real story in this market?
You know, and that's a really good question. I saw that question earlier, and it's similar to what we just talked about. But, you know, the thing about it is you don't want to get to looking out your back door all the time. We've got to be really careful there, because there are some parts of the world that we have a fair amount of harvest completed, especially like where I'm from in Central Illinois. Central Illinois, though, I will tell you that we're pretty much finished up for the most part. There's no piles on the ground. And so why is the basis so strong? Well, there's no piles on the ground. And so, you know, there's regions that there's very much a shortage, okay? And so he's right. When the basis is really strong, it's going to tell a story. Now, we have to be very cautious, to base it on what I just said, because, for instance, this crop is 700 to 800 million bushels smaller than a year ago. So we're already significantly smaller. So how much smaller do we expect the crop to get? And 167 yield, you know, I think you could definitely scale down from that. Still, I think that test weights are going to end up rearing their head. You're not going to necessarily see it on yield, but I do think that you're going to be looking at field loss. I think that you're going to be looking at a very challenging situation. And I pity the people that are going to have to let it sit in the field over the winter. Mm-hmm. I really hope that they are blessed with a December, maybe, that we're not looking for, because a lot of your forecasters are talking for pretty rough weather here in December. So moving forward, I would have to think for a producer we closed actually just barely above 370, I've got to think that we're going to find some support in here. But if I was hauling my corn in, I don't know that I would be paying commercial storage to find out. I just don't know that it pays whenever basis is already this strong. Putting it in the bin at home, I think it's a wonderful thing to do, but most people at this stage of the game, their bins are probably already full.
And that poses an interesting question, too, that we've been talking about a little bit, and that's right now you can tell the commercial buyers want the corn because the basis levels are there with way over where they usually are for this time of year. But I think that poses the question, as we continue to see the slow harvest, we see strong basis levels. Is that just going to be a trickle effect throughout the whole year, where maybe we don't see some huge rally because of this late harvest? We just see commercial buyers being able to get the supply right when they need it.
That's a wonderful point and question. And I would say that's part of the reason why I'm trying to kind of split up my risk a little bit. You know, that's why I want to have some corn in the bin, just in case we see this thing end up rallying a whole lot. And who knows? My personal opinion, when it gets right down to it, is that flat cash values to the farmer are not going to go down much, if any. Why? Because every time we've seen the market go back, we've seen the commercial come in and say, okay, we're going to have to bump the basis again. We're going to go ahead and narrow another nickel. You know, whenever people are paying for people to dry corn and still offering a basis that's 40 to 50 cents above what normal is, to me, that tells me there's something going on here. And so, you know, I guess from a producer's standpoint, you've got to keep that in the back of your head. Yes, your tendency is to want to lock in that basis. And I think there's going to come a time where we're going to want to lock in basis and potentially see this market rally. But at the same time, I don't want all my eggs in that basket in the event that I'm wrong. Because if I'm wrong and basis is locked in and the market slides even more, even though I don't feel like it will, I don't know. Let's just be honest mm-hmm. about it. If the market slides, what's basis going to do? It's going to get better.
Matt, talking about putting all your eggs in one basket, we've got a good question here. Looking already to 2020, whether or not to lock in some of those prices, we've got a question from Gary in Wilton, Iowa. He said, weather and poor yields supposedly are already figured into this market price. So if this is true, and if 2020 is normal for weather and yield, how much of the 2020 crop should I sell before 2020 prices tank?
Very good question. And I'm really glad that that he's thinking that way. You know, quite frankly, we've been urging the people that we work with, take a very close look at what your cost structure is. Throw your cost structure in with, you know, a believable yield, something that you're going to take to the banker if you're someone that has to borrow money for an operating note. And then, you know, with that yield, what's your break even? And so, you know, a lot of producers that we've looked at, when you get above $4, $4.05 to $4.10 level, a lot of these guys and gals are saying, hey, I can make money here. Okay. And so if you can, then by all means, that's something we need to be proactive on. Now, how proactive do you want to be to answer his question? You know, we're 20% currently, but we've been talking about if we get back into that 405, 410 level with what we're seeing, we're probably going to be a little more aggressive at the same levels we sold at before. Okay. If we got to 50%, I don't have any issue with that whatsoever. If a producer can make money at today's price, I wouldn't have any problems with 50%. Bottom line for me, if you start plugging in numbers into next year's balance sheets, if we do plant 92 to 95 million acres, I know some people have thrown around 100 million acres, but I'm just going to go on the record as saying I don't think that's going to happen. You know, unless the bean market completely tanks, it's going to be hard to see that. Yes, you're going to get prevent plant acres come back in, but let's just be honest about it. Our liquidity ratios have fallen for about six straight years. I got to be able to put the corn crop out there, you know, and yes, most people are still going to be able to, but not everyone. And you have to be fairly healthy, in my opinion, to be able to put 100 million acres in the ground. And so, but let's just say 92, 93. I mean, you start talking normal yields, you know, 167 yield this year, given what we threw at it, terrible weather conditions. We still raised a 167 national yield. What if it's a 182 national yield next year with 94 million acres? He's going to be wishing he would have been a heck of a lot more than 50% sold going in. And so I want to manage my own risk and get myself covered in the event this thing goes the other way, because if we do go south, it could be a pretty treacherous year.
And what about the soybean markets? I mean, that is such a wild card, because if we get a Chinese trade deal, we could see soybean prices go higher. If we don't, we could see soybean prices maybe trend back to where they have been.
So much more volatility there. You're right. You know, and so anything 950 and above for most of the people that I work with works well. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so for soybeans, I don't proclaim to know where the price is going to go. It's so hard to forecast that. Me personally, I've got to think the soybean prices at 950 are probably towards the high end of the range and the low end of the range, unless we see unless we see some sort of a trade deal. I'm losing confidence in that by the day. I think we'll probably get something, but is it going to be what we all thought it was going to be? Probably not. And so as a producer, I think I need to manage some of that risk. We've seen bean prices in the last 12 months that have scared the daylights out of most of us. And if you got a 950 handle and above, I think it's a really good place to be. We've sold 15 to 20% depending on the producer. I think it's a really good place to be, but I'm probably going to get a little more aggressive yet if we get any bump whatsoever. Again, it all comes down to profitability. I mean, the profit margins is what you've got to hang your hat on. That's what pays the bills. I mean, anybody who gets skittish if we get to 975 because they want 10, I would take major issue with that, because I need to know what 975 means to my farm, because 75 to 99% of the producers I work with make some money.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Join us again next week when we'll explore how one cattle feeder's attempt to resume business after prison takes a tragic turn. And Mark Gold will join us at the Market to Market table. Until then, thanks for watching, listening, or reading. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.